Justin Coffin, drinking some Penguin City beers. Cheers. Cheers.
Oh, probably about September. No, it was like July or August of 2020. You know, it was during the pandemic, and I had been out of teaching.
I feel like your show's been on for a lot longer than that.
I think because we do two episodes a week. Okay. So, we're like in the 120s of episodes. So it's really, we've really.
I haven't hit 100 yet.
Really?
Well, not my podcast episodes. I've not hit 100
yet. Do you know
yet.
About approximately where you're at?
I'm probably at around 75.
Okay. All right. That's good. So, I mean, that's like a year and a half for the podcast if you're doing it once a week. So
yes.
Not bad. Yeah. But so Joe asked me about, he's like, I'm looking to do a sports show and you're a sports guy. And I was like, I'm in, because.
Well, how'd you two meet?
Well, I think going way back to like through Project MKC stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit
yes,
about.
Yes, we will.
But Joe has always been a good donor and a good supporter of Project MKC and, just kind of family connections. We worked with Struthers Elementary before, and that's where Joe's wife works. And, just sort of have stayed, I guess, connected on Facebook and other social media stuff. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. So how do you like the 330 Sports Show?
I honestly
love it. I hope you like it.
Yeah, no, I do. I love it. And Joe knows, like, I am, I'm kind of like a nerd when it comes to, like, being prepared and being organized. I'm working on.
You are much more of a prepared podcaster than I am.
And that could be almost like a little bit of a flaw that I see sometimes that I need to work towards, because sometimes on some of my shows, when I'm less scripted, it's more just free flowing and natural. And I just kind of let it go where it goes. But other shows, when it's like numbers and stats and different things like that, that I want to push out,
that's
sometimes
true.
It almost has to be scripted that way. So if I'm going by myself or, I have one other person, like sometimes Joe will join me, or sometimes we'll have one of our producers jump on the show. Then I feel like I need to be a little bit more scripted, and then we can take it from there.
Yes.
But if it's a guest, I like to have a basic set of questions and just let it see where it goes. So
that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is fun. I should be probably a little bit more prepared.
That's okay. No, the ones I've watched with you and plus you have alcohol in your show. So
yeah. So there's only so much I can do. Like, it wouldn't matter anyway. It would all just get defunct by 30 minutes.
Exactly.
In, or 15.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Right. Literally a bad pun, but just let it flow,
Exactly. So when you, how many, with all the guests, because you've had pretty much 120 or nearing 120 guests,
mm-hmm.
What would you say your favorite guest has been?
Well, I hate to say favorite because they're all really good.
Okay.
And everyone brings a wealth of different knowledge and like experience and just stories with them.
What's your one that surprised you the most then? With the story that found yourself afterwards repeating over and over again to people that you met?
That's a good question. You know what? I will say a bucket list guest that I have already had on is Jim Tressel. And he is just such an awesome guy. I have known him for quite a while. His daughters and I both all went to Boardman. So I have a little bit of a connection there, but, just talking to him and asking him questions as an Ohio State fan.
That would be cool.
My first year at Ohio State was his first year at Ohio State after he had left YSU, which was kind of neat. And just asking him some questions that were always like kind of on my mind and hearing some of his answers were really, really cool. So I would say Jim Tressel.
That's
honestly,
a pretty big one.
And honestly, like I'm going to give her a shout out because she was a lot more, you see people on the news and stuff, but Lexi Walters is someone I've kind of got to know a little bit, and she's just like a fun person. And she was probably the best like one-on-one like interview guest because she's just like, she was just so much fun and just like shared, a lot. So I thought she was entertaining.
That is pretty cool. Have you ever found yourself stumped with any guests that you're like, holy cow, where is this going? Why? It's like pulling teeth.
I'm not going to say
names.
I'm not going to say names. but there was a particular guest one time. It was probably about a year ago, and you know, I'm fairly comfortable just talking with people, just
you are.
Going with things. But I tend to ask open-ended questions. You don't want a yes or no answer.
It's true.
So I was getting just real quick, short responses back. And in the back of my head, I'm like, shit, you know what? And like, let me give another credit to Lauren Lindvig.
Yes.
She actually told me, I asked her because she, you know, she's been in news and entertainment and stuff for so long in marketing.
Yes.
And I said, can you give me a good rule of thumb for like interviewing someone? And she said, try to have 3 questions prepared for every 15 minutes. And so I always keep that in the back of my head, like 3 questions. So roughly 5 minutes per question. So
she's clearly more prepared than I am as well.
Well, I mean, she's a communications major. That's kind of her job and gig.
So. Well, I was a political science major, so it's all about bullshitting.
Well, but you can, if you can bullshit a bullshitter, you know what I mean? Like, that's a good quality to have that they teach in class. So, yeah, and you lived in D.C., so you know what's up down there.
Oh, yeah, I do.
But I will say, like, this particular guest... I think I was through about 6 questions in about 5 minutes. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, like,
yeah.
Like I had planned for them being on for like half hour, 45 minutes. But luckily, I don't know what was asked. I don't know the question it spun on. Maybe I just got lucky. But it ended up being like over an hour show because there was just this long story told. And again, I don't want to say who it is. But it was very entertaining, and it turned out way better than I thought it was going to be. So
that's awesome.
I will say that.
And it is true. Like at one point, you're going down the path, and then all of a sudden something will trigger, mm-hmm. and then they'll feel more comfortable, and then they'll start talking and telling you the stories,
right.
Which is pretty awesome.
Exactly. And honestly, that's what this is about. It's about storytelling.
That's
and
right.
Just talking.
You know? I love storytelling. Yeah. And yeah. I do. I think like your story of what led you here, and then which we're going to get into Project MKC
sure.
in a bit. Like, so all those stories are really good for other people to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether you realize it or not, you could be answering a question for them
no
that
doubt.
They might have to lead them down their path that they're trying to go down.
Absolutely.
So besides all that, softy stuff. Let's talk about this football poll thing.
Sure,
this is really why I wanted Justin on, so I could start complaining. So Justin started this football poll. Explain the football poll.
So it's just like a weekly pick'em that we started. We actually started in week 2 of the NFL season because in week 1 I was like, why the hell aren't we doing something like a little bit more fun? And I actually already have an idea for next year that we're going to change it up and make it a survivor poll and just make it a little bit more fun.
Ooh.
And get, I think, community members involved. We can make it a little bit bigger. But as for this year, I think this is week 11 or 12 of the NFL season. So we pick roughly 5 games a week. We're picking 6 this week because of Thanksgiving. But try to stick with like the AFC North teams, you know, the Browns and the Steelers and the Bengals and the Ravens, and then pick a few other games in there, you know, that maybe have national relevance or whatever. But we're doing it for fun, but we're also doing it for a good cause. You know, you've jumped in and we all, you know, Joe's jumped in. Let me try to make sure I don't leave anybody out. MLO Bros, Luke and Isaac have jumped in. Youngstown Pizza, Jeremy and Grace, Ellie Platt and Platt Insurance. My mom has jumped in, which she's representing MKC.
And then there's this other one.
And then, are we missing someone?
Yeah.
Oh, and Ben.
Yeah.
Sorry, and Ben, the leader currently, who Ben is. Ben, by the way, is all over Europe right now. He was in Ireland. Now
that's even more
he's
annoying.
He's in France. He's in Germany. And the guy lives a great life. But actually his wife was a guest on my show. She was awesome. And
so Ben came into the picture at the end, didn't he?
He did. I wanted at least 10.
Okay.
And Ben, I think, became the 10th. And then we sort of cut it off after 10, because, you know, it was a trial and error thing. And I am collecting 50 picks per week,
yep.
which, you know, sending you a text every week to remind you, sending Joe a text every week. Hey, you didn't get your picks in.
I think my response from now on is going to be, I'll pick whatever Ben picks.
Yes. I mean, like, I mean, I will say you had a good week last week, though.
It's because I picked whatever Ben picked. I believe that's what my response to you was. So explain Ben, who is clearly like could make like a whole, like maybe this is how he is affording Europe. clearly he's good at gambling and making his picks. And yes, this is towards a charity, which is awesome. But what is his skill set?
So, well, Ben, he's in some sort of construction business.
What else does Ben do?
Oh, well, he does run him and his wife own the Northeast Ohio Flag Football Association.
So clearly Ben is into football.
Yes. Ben knows. And Ben
first
knows
myself
that's about.
Like, hey, look at the pretty colors.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the Dolphins.
So Ben's, you know, I'll give him credit where credit's due. He mostly knows what he's talking about.
He's doing well.
I think he's got a good cause. I think he's got like a 6-game lead right now.
There's a chance. How many games are there left?
Oh, we still have 6 weeks.
But if I constantly just keep picking Ben's picks.
Well, you'll never win that way. Unless he falls off, but then you would fall off too. So,
yeah, I would fall off as well.
Eventually you'll have to change it up if you guys keep climbing the ladder.
So do you think if there's a tie, if somebody gets to Ben's level,
mm-hmm.
and covers the spread that way, is there going to be like a Super Bowl?
We'll have a
tiebreaker.
I think I'm going to cut it off at the end of the regular season.
Okay.
So it'll be week 18 of the regular season, and then what we'll do, we will probably just have one certain game. We'll have you if there ends up being a tie. We'll have the number. You know, we'll like say pick the points for whatever particular game. So that'll be our tiebreaker, which would be kind of cool.
I think it'd be awesome.
So, yeah.
So when I gambled when I was younger or joined the football pool, I know gambling can be such a negative word.
But
when I would join the football pool at my uncle's place, it was so much easier because you just circled the teams that you wanted.
Yeah.
And then it was like the Monday night game was your point game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you were able to win or lose. Not that I ever won that one either, but still. It was less complicated than me being like, what does the negative mean?
Exactly. You know what? And I'm not a big gambler per se, especially like if I'm in Las Vegas,
there I am. I am the fifth person down with 22 wins.
You caught up to me, though, because I had
a rough beating
week.
Joe. Hey.
So, yeah, Ben, I mean, it's a six win gap. Jenny is my mom. And actually, she's always probably been better than me at, prognosticating games.
Nice.
So, yeah, it should be an interesting finish. Ben does have the lead, but, like, you know, there's 6 games this week. He goes 0-6. Somebody else wins 4 games. They're right back up there.
So it's Thanksgiving week. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there.
It's also Ohio State.
That's
Michigan week.
It is. It is. There's no Michigan.
Michigan. The team up north.
Yes.
The team up north.
And I will say that my first question is, and I do need to look this up because I still haven't submitted my picks yet, and I know today is the deadline.
But no, you have till tomorrow at noon.
Always tell us the day before.
That's true.
But my question, of course, to Justin, it was, so who typically plays on Thursdays? Because I know that there are stats of certain teams who always win on Thanksgiving Day.
That could be, you know what?
Isn't it the Lions? Don't they always win?
The Lions and the Lions and the Cowboys always play.
Okay.
Every Thanksgiving. And then they rotate. Now they've added a third game at night. But the Lions always play at noon and they're playing the Bears this Thanksgiving. And then the Cowboys generally play that like 4 o'clock, that middle afternoon game, and then whatever the night game might be. I think this year it's the Saints. And
so there's four. There wasn't always four games on Thanksgiving.
Three.
So there are three games?
Three. Yep. There's three games now. There used to be, always used to be the two games.
That's right. And yeah. Then somebody else want to get on the action because mm-hmm. they know that people are watching the games then.
Oh, yeah.
And which people are. I mean,
and the network money, you know, you want that.
It's crazy that amount. Advertising money. That's amazing.
No doubt.
So now we can talk about Project MKC.
Sure.
So,
oh, real quick before we switch.
Uh-oh.
Because we did mention it's for charity. So let's throw out the names of the charities too. So who are you playing for?
So I couldn't pick. So I picked two, which Justin was very nice to let me pick two. So I picked Animal Charity and Oh Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie picked the
Trumbull County Farmers Bureau.
Mm-hmm. You picked Project MKC?
My mom is playing for Project MKC. Okay. Since I'm an employee, I thought I should probably go somewhere else. I'm trying to remember now who I picked. I'm playing for a friend of mine who graduated in 2000. She was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow.
So she has a 5K now, which they just ran in September, October. Raised $85,000, but that's called,
awesome.
But you guys can look it up. 5K for JK. It's the money goes directly towards the Michael J. Fox Foundation.
That's awesome.
So that's who I am playing for. Joe's Akron Children's. We have Rosalie's Forever Footprints. I think that's Luke. And Isaac is playing for the Melina Michelle Enfield Foundation. And Youngstown Pizza Reviews are playing. They have a Youngstown Pizza Project.
I was about to say, theirs was like this whole unveiling, wasn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, they have, Jeremy can fill you in more on that, but it is now a 501c3 from what I understand.
So. Which is not easy to obtain.
No, it is not.
It's like going through, if anybody has ever thought about opening or starting a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
you get the paperwork to file, and it is a ridiculous amount of paperwork and filings that you have to do, the language, everything. That I will say, I definitely advise hiring someone who is specialized in the nonprofit world,
no doubt,
to be able to create those documents for you, because mm-hmm. if you're just trying to do it yourself, it can be
it
most likely will be returned by the state.
Jana, my wife, and I did one too, but Jana has a legal background. And we create, you know, obviously we created the Project MKC one,
yep.
But we also created one for the Boardman girls basketball team
when I was there too.
So that could be a legit, it was considered a nonprofit before, but it was not registered. So we got it registered too.
I am not going to name any places, but there have been maybe an organization that believed themselves to be a nonprofit as well, and they were not.
It's a really, really quick, simple search.
Yes.
You can find out who is and who's BSing you.
exactly. And which they are now.
Mm-hmm.
They realize the significance of joining the national organization so that it does help them when it comes to some of those things that could have fallen down on them.
Oh, yeah. Make sure they show you an EIN number.
Oh, yes. However, so funny story. Can't really go into detail. This is a bunch of non-details, but I did. So, you know, I do commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Went and showed this commercial space. And no joke, the guy mentioned having an EIN. And it clearly was not a nonprofit. And he was like, I don't pay taxes anywhere. I was like, clearly.
Of course you don't.
I was like,
you won't pay him in prison either.
I was like, we're not gonna dive too far into this because I don't want to be incriminated.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and here you are getting an EIN number while other people are struggling.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's amazing. But that's
definitely all. Get it though, if you're a nonprofit.
You should. It. And you do deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's
mm-hmm.
not even 15 minutes in and I'm already slurring my words.
No, it's all right.
And this is the Penguin City Light. So that's lower than my 5% rule.
Interesting. What is it, about 4.25-ish?
Oh, I thought it was right 4.7.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
How about that building, though?
That building's amazing.
Beautiful.
So Justin and I also, with Joe, toward the Penguin City building. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be able to voice over and do it again to fix the and create mesh the video with the dialogue. Because unfortunately, somebody, maybe been me, kept talking without a mic. So hopefully we can fix that.
Yeah, but we'll have some cool shots of the before and after, though. At least visually, I think. So
oh, I think it's going to be really amazing. Cool. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm so excited. I love coming to the east side of downtown and seeing that painted building. It's beautiful. So cool. I mean, it's really it resonates with you. It shows you the direction that we're going. And it's great. Mm-hmm. I do think that downtown, no matter what, our small business entrepreneurs are pushing through and they're still persevering and saying, screw it to everyone. This is what we want. And we love the city and we're going to make it happen.
Absolutely. I just saw that what Silver's building was purchased.
Yes.
One of those big buildings where Beta or right across from the hotel was purchased.
Yes.
So
there's quite a few. So you have... First National sold last year, and then you have Huntington that's currently on the market. We'll see how that plays out. The Chase building, which was just purchased via a auction.
Okay.
Then you also have 20 Federal that's across from the Silver's building that is being bidded out, and it's currently, I believe, under contract, and they're going through their feasibility period. The Silver's building just sold. I know that there's interest in where the club was Liquid Blue or Blue Liquid.
It was by the Avalon.
Okay. There's interest in that space. There's also interest in the space next to that.
The more, the merrier. Let's get them all downtown.
I know. It's very exciting to see everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are even looking on the east end when it comes to office space and other retail locations, which is great as well. I do think that people should start re-looking at office space and thinking more of it in a creative space for people to work out of. Mm-hmm. I think that would be instead of your traditional offices, closed doors,
exactly.
Old school mentality that
knock down some walls, open exactly. spaces. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about Project MKC. During the holiday season, I like to focus the podcast on our nonprofits and those local community leaders that impact the homes that we live in. Mm-hmm. And Project MKC is definitely one of those local nonprofits that your mother mm-hmm. did start here, and we are all so blessed to have. So tell people a little bit about Project MKC.
Yeah, so it got started in July of 2010. You know, very small, just started doing birthday parties at the Beatitude Houses in Youngstown and Warren. My sister Shelley, my wife Jana, my cousin Colleen worked there as well. So, and I just came on in the past year and a half. So it truly is a family organization. But, you know, like I said, started out small. It has grown huge. We're now in, I believe, 10 counties in Northeast Ohio.
That's amazing.
We obviously focus a lot in Mahoning, Trumbull, in Columbiana. Possibly could be expanding to Western PA, but our biggest program is our diaper bank, mm-hmm. which I don't know the exact number offhand, but I know we're well over 3 million diapers distributed, since we started that program.
That's amazing, because you guys mm-hmm. just recently did a push for diapers.
Yes. Yeah. Every, I think it's September or it's October is Diaper Need Awareness Month. And so a lot of different community organizations, individuals brought in diapers, did donations for us. And that, you know, that helps a lot, because we are ordering roughly between, I'm just going to throw out a number because I think this is about average, about 85,000 diapers per month we're distributing, which puts it over a million per year.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. So it is, it's a huge need. A lot of times that sort of need for people that need it, it's not funded by, you know, food stamps or WIC and stuff like that. And, so it is obviously a great need for so many kids, but then in turn, so many families. So we always say we, you know, that's our biggest program. And that's what, you know, that's what our main focus is. However, we also have other big programs. We distribute comfort kits, which we distribute roughly about 100 comfort kits to 10 different counties in Northeast Ohio. We're all the way up to Cuyahoga, Lake, Geauga, Ashtabula, all along the lake there.
And that's where the volunteers come in and they help put together the kits.
These duffel bags are awesome. Like, and a lot of times the reason we wanted to do this is these duffel bags, a lot of these kids that are, you know, in awful situations and then placed in foster care, they literally have nothing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll be, you know, taking a notebook or one small little item they might have, and it's in a black plastic trash bag, you know?
Yep.
So what's nice is we get these duffel bags out and to the children's services agencies of that community. When a child is placed in foster care, they get these duffel bags, and they are age and gender specific and literally filled to the brim. There's a, you know, a handmade blanket that a ton of volunteers do. You know, there's toiletries, there's school supplies, and, you know, there's toys, there's books.
It's their own.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, it is something that they can call their own, because a lot of times these kids have nothing. And, you know, it really makes me think, because a lot of times I'm the one delivering them. And each bag that's handed off, you know, sometimes I have to take a step back, because that bag represents a child that is being displaced.
Yes.
So it really, you know, that really impacts and makes it worth what you do every day. Because, you know, when you step back and think, like, you know, it's a bag, yeah, but that bag represents a child.
That's right.
That really needs a lot of help. So, you know, that makes it worth it. So those are our two main programs, but we also do, you know, many, many other programs as well.
Now with the diaper program, if there was a mother in need, how would they be able to reach out to? Yes.
So we do not deal directly with the public, but we do have roughly 70 partner agencies.
Okay.
And we get our referrals through them, and they get the diapers, and then they distribute it to the client. So we're sort of a third party, I guess you could say. But we try to help fill those gaps that those agencies can't meet those needs.
Do you know, or has this ever happened, a Huggies or a Pampers or anybody, have they ever donated mass amounts of diapers to be able to help out?
We've gotten huge donations in the past. We are a member of the National Diaper Bank Network, and we are affiliated with Baby to Baby, who is in Los Angeles. They are a huge, huge organization with a lot of celebrity kind of cachet, you know, like Jessica Alba's on their board of directors.
Oh, who doesn't love Jessica Alba?
Exactly. And her name's escaping me, but the mom from Modern Family, Julie Bowen, is on there. And they just, you know, they have a huge gala every year. And but they have been amazing.
You say Modern Family. I say Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Virginia Bennett from Happy Gilmore. That's a favorite of Joe's too. I know that. So, So they have been fantastic. Every year they usually invite us out there to LA, but the last 2 years, obviously COVID has changed things, but you know, looking forward to getting out there again.
Have you seen anything ramp up or slow down? Has anything ramped up during COVID and started to slow down now?
I think it has.
Not that we're not still in it, but
right,
still.
Right. I mean, there's obviously still a huge need month to month, but I would say it's more leveled off right now. We're back about pre-COVID numbers, but during COVID, we were doubling and tripling a lot of times what we were giving out per month. So 150 to 200,000 diapers a month during, you know, especially the first few months of COVID when a lot of people weren't working.
That's right.
Weren't getting a paycheck, things like that. So
that's insane.
Mm-hmm. It really
is. That's a hell of a lot of diapers.
Well, right.
Which should tell you, like, the need that we do have out there.
Exactly. And it is just, you know, it's like food. It's a basic necessity.
It is.
A child needs. And, you know, I have now a three-year-old who's nearly out of diapers, but I know how many when she was a baby that she went through on a daily basis.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, a lot of times those
especially
people...
when they, now that they have the diapers with the yellow line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah. It was definitely, like, you've got to be honest. I'll be honest. There were times because it was like, you know, it was just a trickle. Uh-huh. But then you have that yellow line staring you in the face.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and I think until maybe you have, you're changing a diaper at home of your yes. own or of a child's, not of your own. But you know what I'm saying.
I'm at
but,
least 10 years off from that.
Yeah, hopefully me too.
I'll be like Lisa Rinna, my diapers.
But I think I need a drink there. But no, you know, it's like, again, you don't realize how many you go through until you actually are going through it.
I know.
So it is crazy. And then, you know, if you have the means, generally you're buying these bigger packs and bringing them home. And those smaller little individual packs that, you know, people might have to buy because they're cheaper, might be cheaper in the short term, but they're a lot more expensive
yes.
per diaper over the long term too.
Yes, they are. I mean, this is when, like, when people say shop at Sam's Club or, mm-hmm. or wholesale, it actually, while it might be more upfront,
yes.
it is definitely less money mm-hmm. in the long run that you'll find yourself. It's a cost savings. It's just a cost savings.
Well, and let me just say one more thing too. The one great thing about our organization, obviously we're 501c3. So any donation, any, you know, whether it's money or whether it's tangible items is tax deductible. And if you give 50 cents, if you give $50,000, if you give $100, whatever it is, you are guaranteed to know every single penny of what you give goes to either diapers or wipes or toiletries or whatever a child or a family might need. Not 1 cent goes to salary, lighting, no overhead costs, because we have generous anonymous donors that pay for all payroll, utilities, and rent. So
really, if you're still looking to give this holiday season, yes. think about Project MKC,
mm-hmm.
especially since we're nearing the end of the year.
Tax season coming
and
up.
And if you happen to have made too much money, this is a great way. And
it
you
is.
And you guys accept corporate donations,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
100%. So there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times businesses will do like matching donations of their employees as well. So you can check with your employer on that. But I'm not begging for money, but I will say we will not turn it down. We will not turn it
down.
I'll
beg for them.
Yeah, Lisa's a great spokesperson for us. So.
Well, I think it's absolutely awesome, everything that you guys do for our community and beyond. I didn't realize how many other counties you touched. So, and even the fact that you guys are even looking to expand.
Yeah, we're trying to get into Mercer and Lawrence counties at least.
Which
in
is
the
a
future.
It's a
if
beautiful,
we're allowed, we're not 100% sure.
It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's also sad because you know that there's that need out there.
It is, yes.
But how lucky are we that we have somebody out there to fill that void for mm-hmm. people?
And, you know, I know I'm speaking for Project MKC, but there are so many awesome organizations out there
yes.
that we work with on a daily basis and, you know, that contact us. But we're happy to be that, especially that intermediary that can get those other supplies and services. And, you know, and we have buying power, too, which is nice because we can purchase things because we, you know, we get 15 to 20 pallets a lot of times of diapers
wow.
shipped to our warehouse that comes in, you know, these huge 52, you know, foot semis. And, you know, we get those into our warehouse and we get them out as soon as we can to those organizations and people that need it. So it's great.
Well, you know how loved you are in the community because there's even small businesses that are mm-hmm. your for-profits that will still offer their assistance in any way that they can, whether they be a diaper collection spot mm-hmm. whether I think Beauty Boutique did something with a giveaway
yep.
for those that brought in diapers. So, I mean,
Kelly was just in our office picking something up
so.
Right now. We're actually, and this is a last minute shout out because I'm actually doing this right now, but we have holiday giving trees that we are getting out to businesses. So definitely reach out if anyone's interested in their business, you know, being a part of that holiday giving tree.
Definitely reach out to, how should they reach out to Project MKC?
You can call us at our office, 330-758-3434, or just projectmkc at mkc.org.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
For talking about your podcast, about your football poll that is to help raise money for charity. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm losing, so I'm sorry.
It's all going to a good cause.
clearly, the two I picked need to find a better spokesperson for them.
It's all right. Are you having fun with it a little bit?
I'm having a ton of fun.
All right, that's good.
But I'm competitive at the same time. But I really like. I should know better when it comes to the football arena, but that's okay. I still have fun. And then also about Project MKC, because it is. I mean, this is the season of, that they say, 'tis the season of giving thanks and having gratitude and really, really thinking about everything other than ourselves.
Exactly. Yes.
So thank you for being the first nonprofit
Thank you for having us.
And for everyone out there, whether it's to help you with your taxes or you just want to give, reach out to Project MKC. Because like Justin said, they're not going to turn it away.
No, we will not.
It's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
cheers.
Lisa. Cheers. And happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com.